Hello, and welcome to Small Screen Justice, a podcast about superhero TV. I'm Dan.
And I'm Nari, and today we're discussing the pilot of Gotham and the season 2 premiere of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, so this is our first episode. I'm just going to start off by introducing myself. I'm Dan. I basically was raised on comic books. My dad has been collecting comics for 50 years, and so he brought me up with superheroes, and I've loved them since I was 3. I used to sing the Spider-Man theme song from the 60s when I was 3. I'm not a super big comic book fan right now, but I love the movies, I love the TV shows, and with all these TV shows coming out, I've just been really excited about all the superhero TV show coming out.
And I guess I should say why I like superheroes. I didn't grow up like Dan and...
I'm pretty irregular.
That, you know, I had parents, my parents were foreign, so I don't even think they knew who, you know, Batman was.
Yep.
But I had an older brother, and we used to watch, you know, the X-Men cartoon and the, what was it, The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah, the 90s shows. Those are great.
I'm pretty young again.
Yeah.
And the 90s shows. So that was my first experience with it. And, you know, I grew up liking the movies, but it was probably sometime in college where I started getting more into the actual comic books, and I actually own a couple. And I like to read them, and I like the movies and the shows, and I've gotten more and more obsessed with them as the years have gone by, and now I'm a freak about them.
Yeah.
So.
Are you more of a Marvel or a DC person? Was it the Marvel Cinematic Universe that really got you into it, or?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I remember really liking the Spider-Man movies as a kid.
Yeah.
I think in the X-Men movies, those were the ones. So they, I mean, they kind of are Marvel, but
yeah.
Sense that they're not owned by Marvel Studios, so that's not really. It's not. Like, I got into it when Iron Man came out before that. But I guess, yeah, so X-Men and Spider-Man were my first.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton Batman movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just watched the second one recently, and me and my dad, we just, like, couldn't even get through it.
Which one?
The Batman one with the Penguin and Catwoman.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not a fan.
Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Yeah. All right, so we should mention we're recording over Skype. Nari's states away from me. But we're old friends from high school, so sorry if there's any little audio issues here and there.
Yeah.
Do you want to sort of cover the format of the show? I guess then we're going to start talking
about
news.
To my ability, and Dan can add it in. So, to my understanding, because this was Dan's idea, and it was a great idea, thank you, Dan, that we are going to be talking about the different shows that are superhero-related. So there are a lot that are already out, and then there'll be more coming out within the year and next year and so on and so on. So what we'll be doing is we'll be talking about any show that,
Okay. So basically, like in the past, we've done podcasts on different shows, but we've always done it on a specific show, and we'd do episode by episode, and we'd be like super in-depth and like recap it. But there's so many superhero shows out that what we're going to try to do is sort of cover the superhero news, and then we're also going to, we will talk about specific episodes that come out, but sort of a little bit of each, and just like our basic pros and cons, and what we think, how about how the season's progressing. So we have a list here of the shows that are coming out that we plan to cover, or that we're considering covering, starting with Gotham. So that just started, so this week we're going to talk about the pilot of Gotham, that's one of them. We're also going to talk a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and sort of check in on how we're thinking about how the first season went and what we're thinking about the show overall.
And then we'll be talking about Arrow Season 1 of Flash when they come out on October 8th and October 7th.
So you've seen all of Arrow, right?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't watch it when it first came out. I ended up watching it on Netflix, and I got caught all up probably several months ago. Summer that I got all caught up.
And yeah, I feel like a strange amount of people sort of missed this one.
It didn't really public, at least to my knowledge, they didn't really publicize it well.
Yeah.
Whereas Flash, like, we hear about all the time now?
Yeah, I think it's because now, well, first of all, Flash has a little bit more brand recognition than Green Arrow. Like, people know the Flash.
Yeah.
I feel like, and also because now we're coming off of Arrow being a success and like a loved show by a lot of people, it sort of hitting the ground running Forgive the running metaphor there. But yeah, and then so then we're also getting, in a similar way to Flash, we're getting Agent Carter out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is coming in January, and this is sort of in between breaking. They're going to break up this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and instead of having like a big long break where we have no S.H.I.E.L.D., they're going to throw in an 8-episode miniseries of Agent Carter. Which
oh,
is,
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, so you don't know, but yeah, so it's this is obviously Agent Carter is the girlfriend of Captain America from his first movie, and she is one of the people who helped start S.H.I.E.L.D. back in like the 50s. So I don't, and this, so this is going to connect in with, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to some degree, and I don't know exactly. So it's cool that they plan it just 8 episodes, and they're saying there might be future seasons or this might just be it depending on how it goes. But it's cool. It's like one short little story.
I'm really excited, actually. I mean, we'll get more into it when we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the first 5-10 minutes of the episode,
yeah.
I loved.
Yeah, no, that was cool. And I think Agent Carter is a really fun character, so that should be cool.
Yeah, we also need some strong female characters.
Yeah, definitely. And have you, I don't know if you've seen, but if you haven't, you should check out, and everybody else should check out, too, that there's, they did, Marvel does a bunch of these, like, one-shot, like, 10-minute short films that they put on their DVDs, and they did one for Agent Carter, which was sort of, like, their version of a, like, a mini-pilot to see how it would go, and it's really cool, and she does a great job in it, so that was, that's definitely something you should check out if you haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the next one, okay, so the next one is Constantine, which is coming out October 24th, and both you and I are kind of like, I don't know about this one. Yeah, what was your impression of that trailer?
I actually just rewatched the trailer this week, and I'll give it a shot. I will watch the pilot, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Feels kind of like out of place compared to all the other shows that are coming out. It doesn't really,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of okay, so first of all, I want to know if that trailer, everything they jammed into it, is from the pilot, because if so, a lot of things happen in the pilot. But because usually when they show trailers like that, it's just all footage from the pilot. But it just looks kind of, the thing is, I've heard it actually talked about very favorably. People have compared it to Supernatural and Doctor Who, both of which I love. So I'm willing to give it a shot, but it just looks a little bit too cheesy and over the top for me. I don't know.
That's yeah, I got the cheesy thing too. I don't know.
So I don't know how much you know about these 4 Netflix shows. So they're having a bunch of Marvel Netflix shows coming, sort of staggered out through the next year or so, maybe next 2 years. The first one that's coming is Daredevil, and that one's already been cast and everything is being filmed right now. I'm really excited about Daredevil.
They have the woman from True Blood, I forget her name. Jessica.
Jessica, yes, Jessica from True Blood. Deborah Ann Woll, I believe her name is.
Really, she was my like favorite part.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, no, she's great. They've done really cool casting for like Kingpin and people and the Stick, who was Daredevil's mentor. I don't know how much you know about Daredevil. I'm like a fake fanboy of Daredevil because I don't really know that much about him. I never actually read his comics, but I've always, I mean, I'm visually impaired, so I've always loved the character. But
dressed up as him at WizardCon.
Yes, yes. So that was fun. I'm just also excited. So these 4 shows are all going to be a little bit more down and dirty and darker version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, like, they've already talked about, like, it's still in continuity with the other things, but they're mostly in continuity with each other. So the other ones that are coming out are Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, and I think it's might be in that order. I don't know how much you know about these guys.
Can you, like, Dan, how much do you know? Can you, like, give a sentence about each?
Yeah, I can do that. So I've started reading Alias, which is the comic that Jessica Jones is in. She's a somewhat new character. She's a sort of a private detective that they sort of like gave her a bunch of backstory that ties in to like old Marvel things. So like they made it so that she went to high school with Peter Parker, she had been an Avenger, and then something bad happened and so she stopped, and she sort of looks back at her time as an Avenger with like a very cynical eye, and she's now sort of like alcoholic and, you know, depressed and has like these superpowers but isn't like excited about them and is just like a hardworking detective. So she's a very interesting character, and she ties in, like, she has a, like, her first storyline in the comics is, like, investigating something involving Captain America. So they really tie her in, and she's friends with another Avenger, so they really try to tie her into the greater Marvel Universe, which is cool. And I don't know how much of that they'll do here or not, but she's a really cool character, especially to be on Netflix, where they can go a little bit more mature with things. Luke Cage and Iron Fist are usually talked about together, which is making it sort of interesting that they separated them and they're their own shows, because they hang out a lot. Luke Cage is one of the earlier black superheroes. I don't know that much about him, except that he's strong and that he has been on the Avengers recently. And Iron Fist is sort of inspired by kung fu movies. He has like a power fist thing that it uses. And they know that Luke Cage and Iron Fist used to be in this thing called Heroes for Hire, where they were, like, heroes that would, like, do a job for a paycheck. And I don't really know if that's still part of their character or not, but Luke Cage and Iron Fist are more of a question mark for me than the other two. But I'm interested. And I also, so the cool thing about this too is that the four series are leading up to, after season one, they're having a mini series called The Defenders, which will be on Netflix, where all four of them come together.
Oh wow, I didn't hear about The Defenders. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot of we'll be like updating you guys in the news and stuff about these as they come out. But Daredevil is the one that's in the most and is coming up soonest, and then Jessica Jones, and we haven't been hearing that much about Luke Cage and Iron Fist yet. Oh yeah, so those are the main things that we'll be covering, and then we are also talking, I haven't really talked to you about this much, Nari, the idea of, in the summer when shows are off, sort of going back and talking about old shows, so we could maybe even talk about, like, that X-Men show that you talked about that you saw as a kid, or the old, like, Batman Beyond or Teen Titans or something. I can bring in friends, too, that, I have a couple friends who really love Batman Beyond that I could bring in, so I thought that would be fun.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
All right, so there are two other shows in development that I didn't list with the other stuff just because we don't know if they're coming or like it's. I mean, they're in development, so they might not ever happen. The first one is Titans, which is a Teen Titans show. It's going to be on TNT, and it right now they just have a pilot ordered, so we have to see how the pilot goes before we know if they go forward with it. But it's starring Nightwing, and it's probably going to have Sapphire and Raven, a few other people. Starfire is what I meant. So did you ever watch the Teen Titans show?
Yeah, I watched it as a kid, but other than that, I don't know much about it.
Yeah, so I may have read a couple of the comics, but I mostly just know the TV show. So, I mean, I love the TV show. I'm excited about this. What do you think about this show?
I mean, I don't know much about it except that you put it on your Facebook.
Yeah, there isn't much to know yet because they haven't cast anyone or anything. It's just that it's interesting that it's going to TNT. It doesn't really sound like it will cross over with Arrow or anything because it's on a whole different network. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I feel like a lot of people who are fans of Teen Titans are fans because of that cartoon. And that cartoon was very comedic. And I kind of feel like they're not going to do that with this. And so I don't know how well it will connect with a lot of the not comics fans.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Does DC own TNT or something? Does WB own TNT?
No, I don't. Well, I'm not sure. The thing is, so a lot of these things is they, we'll get to with Supergirl in a second, is that the studio that produces it, and they sort of, sometimes they just shop it around to networks. And so something like Supergirl could have gone anywhere except for ABC, because ABC is owned by Disney, which has Marvel and would never have a DC show there. Warner Brothers doesn't own Fox, and Gotham is on Fox. So
okay.
Yeah, so that's with Supergirl, which is also in development, it's a little bit further along than Titans. They have a series commitment, which pretty much means it will happen because there's, like, big penalties if they don't actually go through with it. It's still possible they pull the plug if it was really bad. Like, a few years ago, we had a Wonder Woman show that was being made, and apparently it was terrible, and so they didn't actually go through with it. But basically, all we really know is that they're going with, like, a 24-year-old Supergirl, and there is a possibility, though it hasn't been confirmed, that it could cross over with Arrow and Flash because CBS is a co-owner of CW, so they sort of have a connection there. Also, the people who are working on Arrow and Flash are working on Supergirl, so it sounds sort of likely. Yeah. What do you think about a Supergirl show? I don't know the character well at all, actually.
I don't know much about the character either, so the only thing that really sounded exciting to me was the fact that that there's a chance that there would be a crossover with Arrow and Flash. Like, that would be really cool to see Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl working together.
Yeah, definitely.
But other than that, I don't really know much about the character, except that I know she's a strong female.
Yeah. No, and I'm totally on board for an actually super-powered female character on TV, so that sounds cool.
There's other female, like, superheroes that are famous. As of right now, they don't actually have any superpowers.
Yeah, like Black Widow doesn't.
Yeah, Black Widow doesn't. I mean, I guess Scarlet Witch will, but we haven't seen that yet, so...
Yeah, exactly.
X-Men, but X-Men doesn't really count.
X-Men doesn't really... I mean, they haven't really displayed a strong... Like, in a good way, they haven't really displayed a strong female character yet. I mean, we have Mystique, who's interesting and is well-played, but she's not like a... positive character in a lot of ways.
Storm, what about Storm?
Yeah, okay, but like, she doesn't really get a lot of development, you know?
That's true, we don't
She's a side character. It's not like we have a female Wolverine going around, you know? The closest thing we had was Rogue getting a lot of time, and she now is, like, kind of, she was cut from Days of Future Past, and, but no, I'm definitely interested in Supergirl. I don't know what Supergirl's like without Superman. I don't know if they'll have him pop in and out or what, but, it's interesting. I don't know, it's tough to do a...
Which Superman would be cutting in? It would be like that, the movie Superman?
Well, that actually brings up a really good point, which is that they've said that Arrow and Flash are their own universe and that they will not connect with the movies. So DC is going in a different direction from Marvel. So if they brought in a Superman, it probably wouldn't be Henry Cavill.
Does that mean we're going to see a different Flash and different...
Yes, that does mean. In the Justice League movie, we will not see the Flash from the TV show.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, so that's a definitely interesting topic. So, I mean, I assume you really like the way Marvel connects everything.
Yeah, because then it also allows, it gives people a reason to watch the shows. It makes them more money, I think, because if you're going to see the movies, which are obviously really popular, you want to even get the little details from the shows.
Yeah. No, I get that. I see both sides of it in that, like, I really like Arrow right now, so I don't know if I want a movie that could potentially be bad come in and, like, ruin it. There's also the sort of the issue of, on a weekly show, so at the end of most seasons of Arrow, Starling City is in massive jeopardy, right? So what if this was in the same world where Superman exists, and he could just be calling up Superman and being like, hey, you want to take out this mercenary guy who you could defeat in 5 seconds? It does create some issues there, where it's like...
Can't you say that about all TV shows? Because there are obviously some superheroes that are stronger than others, whereas this is... Actually, that's why I don't like Superman. I'm sorry,
yeah.
But he's probably one of my least favorite characters, because I think he's too powerful, and I prefer superheroes who have more weaknesses than just kryptonite. But I don't know, I guess I like that, I assume we're going to see Agent Coulson again in the movies.
Yeah, no, we will. The thing is, you have, the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff is interesting, too, because they didn't actually, it's not like they made a Black Widow show, you know? They made people that are a little bit more to the side, so it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah. No, but I definitely get what you're talking about. And I definitely think, there's nothing cooler than the weekend where you go to see Captain America and it changes everything, and then you're pumped for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that next week, and you're like, what's going to happen? Everything has changed now. I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, like there's more planning.
Yeah.
Also kind of describes the difference between Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so far Marvel has been more... thoughtful planning from the beginning.
Definitely.
DC has, like, all of a sudden they want to catch up to Marvel, but you can't just catch up to Marvel. You have to take it one step at a time. And, you know, releasing a Batman and versus Superman or whatever they're calling it now movie,
yeah.
Where they're also having Aquaman and, like, all these people in it. Or it's not, I think it was Dawn of Justice, right?
Yeah. It's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Okay, so that was the movie. I don't know, I just feel like there's not a lot more thinking, whereas Marvel, like, thinks about everything, because they had to time the movie to come out, or the show to come out, so those two would match, right?
Yeah.
They had to think about that, because they couldn't have, all of a sudden, you know, Hydra's out, but that the movie hasn't come out.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell just happened? I mean, I just see Marvel having more organization skills as of right now, but also DC hasn't really released much yet, so maybe we'll see. Maybe I'll change my mind.
No, I mean, I definitely agree with you, because it just seems like they're playing catch up, and the problem is that also the things they're releasing aren't really hitting in the way that they want them to, because like I liked Man of Steel, but a lot of people didn't like Man of Steel. So like that sort of screws things up when you have people not really like, what if people don't like Dawn of Justice? Then what do you do? Do you start over? Like,
Man of Steel, but I didn't love Man of Steel. Like
yeah.
when I walked out, let's say, of Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, when I walked out of that movie, I was just still thinking about it. I was thinking about it all the way home.
Yeah.
I was excited about it. I was excited about future movies. I was like, oh my God, I wonder what's gonna happen next. Like, what's gonna happen to Guardians of the Galaxy? And then after you came out of Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, oh my God, how are they gonna defeat Thanos? And like,
Yeah.
whereas when I walked out of Man of Steel, I kind of saw it as its own movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, it was a good movie, but like, it's kind of like when you go see, I don't know, like Inception, which is like a great
Yeah.
movie, but then you walk out and maybe you're still thinking about it, but then when you stop thinking about it, and that's
Yeah.
it. No one's still thinking about Inception.
Yeah.
Whereas you're still thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy, not necessarily because it came out recently, but because you know there's going to be more added to it, whether it's in
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Avengers 2 or whatever.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I mean, it also has issues with things like, I mean, they came out with that Green Lantern movie and it tanked. People hated it and it did not do well. And so now they have to pick a different Green Lantern. And so then what happens if their second Green Lantern also t like, I mean, it's hard to create a universe if you don't have a strong unified vision. And Marvel really got, you know, it was lucky that it had Kevin Feige, who's the big producer, who's basically overseeing all of this and knows what he wants to do and is in control, because now he has, you know, now they trust him and they'll give him whatever he wants, basically, because he made a movie with a talking raccoon make tons of money. So, like, you know.
And another part of it is I feel kind of bad for DC. Like you mentioned the talking raccoon. I feel like Marvel can do anything now and it'll be good. Like I can't imagine, like even if a bad movie were to come out, people would still love it.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like DC, because like they don't have a strong first impression, whereas Marvel did. So I don't know if their weak first impression will get better anytime. And I watched the panels from Comic-Con from both the Avengers cast and then the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice cast. And the Avengers 2 one, I was just so excited to watch it. And I don't know. And then I saw Dawn of Justice. Like, and the thing is, I have nothing against Ben Affleck. I actually like him.
Yeah.
And I know that he's actually doing some of the writing for the movie, right?
Yeah.
So that might actually be better, but I still wasn't excited. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm a really big. First of all, I liked Man of Steel a lot. I actually really liked Man of Steel. And I'm excited for a new Batman because I think the Dark Knight movies are great, but I don't think that it's the Batman that I want to see, because I want to see a more comic booky Batman. So I'm excited for that too. And for some reason, I'm still not that excited for this movie. I don't. It just feels like they're shoving so much in there, and I don't know. But we're talking a lot about movies. I think we should get into, you know,
Okay, cool.
yep.
Should we start talking about Gotham?
Yes. Okay. So we saw the pilot of Gotham. Do you want to just talk about like what you were thinking as you were going into this, like when you first heard about the show, what you thought of the idea?
When did I first hear about the show? I remember I watched the trailer and I was like, a movie about Gotham without Batman.
Yeah.
So I was like, how is this gonna go? So Jim Gordon, like, is he a strong enough character to lead a TV show? I
Yeah.
don't. It made me wonder. I was like, the only time I really knew much about him, he was in the cartoons, but it was more of the Dark Knight trilogy that recently came out.
Yeah.
And I liked him as a character in that, but I felt like he wasn't a strong enough character. I don't mean physically strong enough,
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
like a big enough presence for him to be able to lead on the show.
Yeah.
Kind of worried, but at the same time, I really liked the trailer because it seemed comic booky. And I thought it would be really interesting to see the origin of a lot of these characters. Not necessarily seeing Batman as a kid,
Yeah.
sorry, but to see like
Villain.
an Ivy as a kid or whatever. Though actually, it's also that part's really weird. Does that mean all the bad people are older than Batman? I don't like. I always thought Poison Ivy was younger.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, they're sort of going in their own direction, so you can't exactly. I mean, none of most of it is a reimagining, because like Catwoman didn't see Bruce's parents get killed, and like First of all, they changed Poison Ivy's name to Ivy Pepper. It's usually Pamela Isley. They're going in a very different direction, which I'm fine with. But I definitely agree, it does make it so he's like the little whippersnapper who's fighting these like older people. But especially like Falcone is like already pretty old. So by the time Batman deals with Falcone, he's
he would be like a wheelchair.
I mean, we think of Batman as probably older than he usually is when he starts. I mean, he starts off around when he's like 24, I think. So I don't know, but so as far as the overall topic goes, I've read a few issues. My dad used to read me this book called Gotham Central, which is similar to this in that it's all about the police department in Gotham, but it's different in that it's while Batman is active. So they're like picking up after him, they're solving things that he doesn't, you know, sometimes they're going after him, sometimes they're helping him, sometimes they're like, you know, getting little things here and there. But that was a really good comic, and I really liked the interplay of the, you know, different policemen there. But that was while Batman was around. So I definitely was sort of like, what is the point of this if there, it's just another cop show? But, so all this said, the pilot really surprised me, really, you know, proved itself to me. I thought it did a pretty strong job. We have a bunch of pros and cons here, and you wanted to start with the cons.
Yeah, I do want to start with the cons, but I do want to say, recently I read something, I don't remember where I read it from, but that they were saying that the show, they're hoping the show goes on for a while, mm-hmm. but I think what they wanted the show to end, like the last episode, to be, like, Batman puts on his suit. That's how they watched it, where I read that.
Yeah.
So that's what their goal is, but obviously if the show fails after a season, they can't really do that, but...
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard people talk about, like, wondering whether maybe, like, say it does really well, maybe season 5, they'll do a time jump, and it will be, like, 6 years later, and now Bruce can be a little bit older or something. Because, I mean, even if it went 6 years, he'd only be 18, so he's gonna become Batman at 18? I mean, like, so it is a question mark. But I do think it's interesting, and I also wonder if that means that, because, so, usually Batman goes off around 18 and travels the world. So would we start seeing him off not in Gotham, or would he be trained in Gotham?
Well, I guess since they're not really following the comics, they could do anything. Yeah. They could make a teenage Batman too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, Alfred is a lot gruffer and more intense in this, so maybe Alfred teaches him, for all we know.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been versions of Alfred where he's been like, he was like a spy in the army and stuff like that when he was younger. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Okay. You want to start talking about the cons?
Yes. All right. So my first con is Thomas Wayne. Wasn't a fan of the acting. I thought he just seemed really goofy and over the top. He was like, stay behind me, son. What's going on here? And I had kind of hoped that the pilot would end with the Waynes being killed, because I kind of wanted to see more of them before they died.
Did you ever see them in any of these movies? They just start out by killing their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it would have been interesting to sort of build up to it and let me care about them before they died, but I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with you. I feel like, and also, that whole death scene, I just want to say, I know that he's like a kid, but when he like got on his knees and he was like, no. I felt very... Like, would a kid actually, does that really happen?
I have no idea. I mean, I think it's like, yes, I agree it felt overly dramatic, but I also have no idea how a person reacts to seeing their parents get shot. So I wouldn't, if I was writing that scene, I would have no idea what to do.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think people go to these cliches because it's like such a heightened thing that it's like, how do you play it real without him just like vomiting everywhere?
You're a good point.
Yeah, and I will say overall, I do think that Bruce did a pretty good job. Not necessarily in that scene, I agree, was a little bit much, but in other scenes, I thought he did a pretty good job.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So my second con is, I think Gordon in this episode is just okay. I think, I like Ben McKenzie, I was a fan of the OC back in the day, so I was actually pretty excited he was cast. Did you watch the OC?
Yeah, I watched it, but it was after the fact, though.
Yeah, me too.
I had an older sister, so I didn't have an older sister,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I think Ben Kingsley's a great actor, and I think he did a good job here. I just felt like I would have liked a little bit more backstory, know his motivation a little bit more. We didn't get enough of his home life for my liking.
But I'm hoping that maybe we'll see more. That's excellent. That he wasn't bad at all, and I'm excited to see more about him. But I feel like other characters were more interesting than he was in this.
Yeah, I agree. He felt like, and this is just a pilot thing. I totally like. I'm not like he's going to be terrible because I think he definitely has a lot of room to grow. And it's just that in the pilot he was just like the hero, and that was, but that leads into my other issue is that the little home life that we did get was with Barbara, who I was kind of like, this
Yeah, I
is,
didn't like her at all.
yeah, not the best.
I was like, yay, another stupid. They write another stupid female character.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a brain. Okay, great.
Yeah, so okay, and then there was that one little scene with her and Montoya where they talk about they like allude to her past. Did you have any ideas about that?
I have no idea. Like, were they lovers? Like,
Okay, so that's a good point. So I could have sworn, and don't quote me on this because I don't know that much about Montoya, but I could have sworn that Montoya was a lesbian in the comics. So I don't know that. I think they might have made this up, the whole Barbara and Montoya together thing, but that seems what they're alluding at. I don't know. It's interesting.
would be really interesting.
Yeah, that I think. I mean, it's a different kind of thing, a different kind of love triangle than what we usually see. So I don't know. I'm up for talking about that as long as the actors can actually handle it. I don't know about this.
I didn't really see much potential for
Yeah.
Barbara, but anyway,
Yeah.
maybe.
And then okay, so then I had a little bit of logic hole here, which I don't know if you felt if you, you caught this or if you disagree with this, but after Gordon sort of finds out that shooting Mario Pepper was sort of a cover up, wasn't real, that he wasn't really the guy who did it, he goes to Bullock and Bullock basically says if we find out that he's innocent, then we'd lose our jobs. I shot him, blah blah blah, and I'm just like. No matter what, shooting him was self-defense because he was attacking your partner with like a knife and stuff. So
Sure.
I don't understand why they'd lose their
How did
jobs.
you shoot him once? I don't remember now.
He shot him. So basically, Mario. They were like, there was a massive chase. Mario had shot at Gordon a bunch of times, and then there was a hand-to-hand combat thing, and Gordon was like on the ground, and Mario was looming over him, about to attack him, and Bullock shot him in the back. That is totally self-defense.
It is self-defense. I
Yeah.
agree.
And no matter what, someone attacks a cop with a weapon, you can shoot them.
Let's go into politics.
Yeah.
That's for a different
Yes,
podcast.
that is true. All right. And then I guess the next thing I have is a pilot problem because pilots are tough to do. But I did feel like this was a really fast-paced pilot where they didn't really give a lot of time for breathing and sort of, reflect.
Yeah, I feel like either pilots are too slow or too fast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, this one was a little bit too fast, but I think they really want people to. A lot of people feared that Gotham wouldn't be action-y enough because Batman's not in it.
Yeah.
I felt like they maybe wanted to put in a lot of action, a lot of fast-paced events, so people would be kind of attracted to it. But maybe they overdid it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think. I mean, my dad was pointing out that, like. In most shows, the episode would have ended with the shooting of Mario Pepper, and then you have it just end with the Penguin going in and telling the people that it was a cover-up, and then it's like the next episode was like it felt like there were two episodes pushed together, kind of.
Yeah, no, they definitely put too many events together.
Yeah, I think it was a slightly longer episode than usual, but I think it would have benefited by like a slightly even longer pilot. I think that it definitely is interesting that it's hard to pace these sorts of things, but I get your point about trying to put as much action in as possible. All right, and then my last issue was just a concept issue that I've
Yeah,
had from
actually, I just read that concept with you, and I totally hadn't thought about it. That's
the. Yeah,
right.
so basically, I've been having this issue since the very beginning when I first heard about this show, which is if this is all leading up to Batman and the protagonist is Gordon. Gordon has to lose every episode because otherwise Gotham doesn't need Batman. Things have to be really bleak for us to believe that Batman is necessary. So how is Gordon supposed to win? He can't beat the villains. Otherwise, if anything, Gordon's gonna have to create all the villains in a way.
Yeah, like how does Poison Ivy become the villain that she is, right? Like we saw
Yeah.
her as a kid, we saw all these people, I don't know. So,
I think it would be really cool if Poison Ivy, like season 6, when she's like 18, comes back and goes after Bullock because he killed her father. I think that would be fun. But I just don't know. I guess Gordon can maybe try to clean up the police department. Maybe they can let him take. I mean, they add in like Fish Mooney, and Fish Mooney's a new character, so maybe he can take down Fish Mooney. But I don't know.
Or maybe it's like normal comic books, like the same villains die 20 times.
Yeah.
Like you think some villain's dead and then they come back. It's like cliche comic books, so
Yeah.
I feel like they're just gonna do that. They're gonna maybe get rid of the Penguin and they think he's dead, but he somehow comes back and
Yeah.
so yeah, okay, sorry.
No, so I brought up Fish Mooney, and I have her in my pros column, but what do you think about Fish Mooney?
I liked her. I mean, I'm gonna have to guy sound like some.
What are you gonna say?
I was gonna say she's like a strong female
No,
character.
I agree with you. No, she's a good strong female character.
It's very few times do we see a badass female character,
Yeah.
right? Like, how many strong female villains do we know? I mean, I guess Poison Ivy, kind of, but at the same time.
Thing is, all of Batman's strong female characters are sort of hurt by the fact that they're all sexually attracted to him or use sex in some way. So, because you have Catwoman, you have Poison Ivy, you have Talia al Ghul, all of them have some sort of flirtation with Batman, which kind of undermines their power in a way. So that's a bit of an issue. Batman does have more female villains than most, though, I'll give him that. The thing is that I think Batman has a lot of strong female villains because he's sort of a noir character, and they're all sort of in the femme fatale sort of role there.
Ooh, film terms.
Yes.
Dan was a film major. You should probably add that to the
Yes,
film.
that's a good point. I was a film major. So despite Fish Mooney's terrible name, that is ridiculous.
Wow, what the heck? Why did you ever fish?
Is the weird, like, is that her street name or something? I don't.
I felt like maybe the Penguin would be attracted to that. Like,
Oh man.
God, I really want to talk about that scene in the at her bar.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Like, just the part with that poor comedian guy who was just standing there, probably thinking, like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. That's actually okay, you bring up the comedian guy. I'm so confused. Is that the Joker? I
The Joker?
don't know. I mean, like, it feels weird to have a comedian and it not be the Joker, but they didn't really make a big deal out of it, so I don't know.
No, I think they're gonna hold the Joker to. I don't think that was the Joker. I think that was just some random guy that, you know,
I
you
hope so.
know, bad people have like jet court like gestures or whatever that make
Yeah.
you laugh, ha ha ha, kind of. I feel like it's one of those things. I feel like the Joker will eventually be in the show.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna hold it off for later because it's gonna be something big.
Yeah, I see. I agree with you because he wasn't in the. They didn't say bef. I don't think they showed like a before the Joker thing in the preview, right? So I
Yeah.
feel like they would have made a bigger thing out of it. So maybe he was just a comedian. We'll see. But speaking of the cameos, so we had Catwoman, we had Ivy, we had Riddler, we had Penguin. What did you think about all these cameos?
By the way, we're talking about pros now,
Yeah.
so everyone should be aware that we're gonna say good things
Yeah.
mostly. Okay, Catwoman. I don't know, what was that she was wearing on her head?
Goggles. That actually is a shout out to one of the costumes that she's worn, but I've never liked those goggles.
So my question is, did we ever hear her talk?
We did not, but episode 2 is called Selina Kyle, so.
Oh, okay, cool. I actually kind of like that we didn't hear her talk. Is that weird?
No, I get it. I thought it was really an interesting choice to open the episode on her. And it kind of made me upset because for many years now I've wanted to make a Catwoman TV show prequel series about her growing up. There's a lot to mine there. I think there's a lot of cool stuff with Catwoman as a young kid,
No,
but.
I kind of like, because it was very Catwoman-y not to say something, just to
Yeah.
kind of observe and be places.
I thought they went a little too far in that. So I like the opening scene with her, right? And I like that you see her watching the funeral and stuff. The problem is that you see her like 4 times just like looking at stuff. I thought they went a little bit too
She was
many.
at the Wayne house.
Yeah.
Why did she decide to go watch the house? Like,
Yeah.
I understand why she watched other big events, but
Yeah.
why was she there? I feel like they overdid it that last
Yeah.
time.
So my other question is, I don't know if they said, but are there going to be superpowers in this? And is she supposed to have one? Because I was really confused. I've watched the opening scene a bunch of times now. She jumps really far. And I don't. Is she supposed to have powers? Or is it just ridiculous? She jumps off of a building and lands on her feet like a cat. But is that because she has powers?
People do parkour and they do some crazy stuff like that.
I thought it was a really big jump. I guess wonder whether it's supposed to be parkour or whether it's supposed to be powers.
Well, I'll rewatch it to make sure maybe I missed the actual distance she jumped.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just overreacting, I don't know, but... So, I mean, I thought Ivy was sort of fun. He didn't do a whole lot, but he wasn't there. Riddler, I thought, was great. Riddler was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love the Riddler. I'm actually kind of... Well, what did he say when he was, like, he was going to say something, and then who said, like, don't put your...
Bullock was saying it. Bullock was like, shut up.
I'm excited.
Yeah, this is kind of a funny thing to say, but the Riddler is kind of adorable.
But I know that the show's not trying to follow the comics, but in the comics, doesn't he start out bad and end up being a detective?
I believe it, I don't know if he currently in the comics, but at one point in the comics, he sort of reformed and started helping the police department as like a tech guy and as like a crime solver guy. So that is definitely in there. The origin that I know the Riddler is from the animated series, and in that he worked for like Wayne Industries and then like got fired unjustly or something, and so he like went insane. But
that's also what they did in the old Batman movies when they had Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I've seen that Jim Carrey movie, but not for a really long. I don't even remember that. But and then so we sort of talked a little bit about Bruce, but we can talk. I thought Penguin was really great.
Oh, they picked like someone really. When I imagine the Penguin, I imagine someone looked like that.
And
I don't know, the last scene we saw when he got out of the water.
Yeah.
That was so Penguin.
That last scene. I don't know why, but when he came out of the water, I was like, is he going to eat the guy?
I thought he was going to have a fish in his mouth.
Yeah. So I thought he did a great job and was probably one of the most intriguing parts of the episode. My friend is upset that he's not fatter, which I don't really care about. But...
I don't really care, and also he might get fatter later.
Yeah. No, I thought he was really cool. I really liked his scenes with Mooney. I really liked that he went and ratted out on her. I think I'm really excited to watch his growth throughout the show, especially now that he has to be sort of in the shadows because he can't let anybody know he's alive, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm. Is that why he goes, like, under... the pipes are
gone. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But it's interesting. For me, another big pro was Bullock. I thought Bullock was awesome.
But after, I know him from a different TV show.
His name's Donald Logue. I know that name, but I can't remember why I know him.
This TV show with, like, he was a dad.
Wait, was it Grounded for Life?
Yeah, Grounded for Life.
Yeah, yes, he was on Grounded for Life. I did watch that show. Oh my god, I totally forgot. That's so weird.
that's how I know him.
Yeah.
So it was really weird to watch him. Though I think he was also in another cop movie or something. Mm. He played a cop in another movie.
Yeah.
But it was also, it's weird to see him as like a main character who isn't a grumpy old dad. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, he is kind of grumpy. He's lackadaisical. I thought he acted it really well. I really liked his cynicism, and I really liked that, like, you could tell he, like, sort of was a good guy, but it was buried under a lot of, you know, issues and stuff. So I thought that was good.
And I feel like it was, I mean, the next point is the whole corruption point, and it kind of brings up to what you said. I feel like he is kind of a good guy, but he's gotten into he works in a city where if you want to get anything done, you can't be a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they need to go to, like, Fish Mooney to get information.
Yeah.
Stuff. I feel like, I mean, maybe he's turned more corrupt, like, internally late before, but I feel like he has no choice.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, he says that line about this is not a city for nice guys, and I think he really believes it. And I think that he's sort of convinced himself that he's doing what he needs to do and to survive kind of thing, but he doesn't, you know, but deep down he knows that isn't really true. But another thing that I really loved about the show was I thought it had a really great sort of very different visual aesthetic. I thought it felt very like comic booky and very different from most shows that I've watched. I loved like what they did with lighting and with color and just the way the city looks. It feels like Gotham, and I really love that.
No, I agree.
Yeah, and I think the overall tone, it feels very pulpy. It feels very noir, and I'm a big fan of it overall. And just, do you want to talk about the ending thing with Gordon and the Penguin?
Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to kill him, but I also had a feeling that he wasn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't kill off Penguin, really, so.
Well, I mean, at least I thought maybe he would shoot him.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't die, and he would come back with, like, a vengeance. I mean, I'm guessing he's still going to come back with a vengeance.
But yeah. Well, no, I agree. I mean, I think they did a really great job with it, considering that I was like, they're not going to kill the Penguin, and I was like, Jim Gordon would never actually kill him, but I still felt like it was really intense, and there was really, like, really suspenseful anyway, so I think they did a really strong job with that scene.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Yeah, so that I really loved that. So, okay, is there anything else you want to say about Gotham overall, the pilot, and sort of, do you want to grade it as an episode of a pilot?
Are we talking about just superhero pilots or pilots in general?
Pilots in general, I'd say.
Pilots are bad.
Yeah, really, they really are. I honestly was really pleasantly surprised with this. I thought as a pilot it was pretty strong.
So the only pilot that I can really think that, like, the Arrow pilot was awful.
Yeah, not great.
The only pilot that I can think of that was better was probably the pilot for Lost.
Yeah, definitely. That was just a strong one. I mean, I can think of a few other ones I liked more, but I think that for what this show is, it did a strong job. And I also think that, like, most of the people who had doubts about this show, this is going to help them get over those doubts, and it's going to push them in the right direction.
I would give it an A-.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't give it an A is just because if I give something an A, that means that it was perfect, and
yeah.
I don't want to say the episode was perfect, so I'm going to give it an A-.
I was going to go with a B+. I think it's a really strong opening, strong pilot, but it definitely had a few issues here and there for me. I guess overall, I just felt like it, between Barbara and the super, super fast-paced, and just the fact that Gordon wasn't given as much motivation as I would love him to, I think B+ is where I'm going.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had pretty close grades, but everyone who listens to this podcast will slowly learn that I focus on the positives. I always give really high grades unless it's a really awful episode.
Yeah.
If it's a really awful one, I'll just give like a C or something.
Yeah. Well, actually, so now I'm interested to see what. Now we're getting into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and
this is where the bad grades come in for sure.
Yeah. So before we get into the specific episodes, so the season premiere is called Shadows. But before we get into that, do you want to sort of talk about your feelings about S.H.I.E.L.D. in season one?
So when that show was first announced, I got really excited.
Yeah.
So I was like, A, we're gonna see Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
Which I loved in the movies, and I was like, B, like, you know, I love Marvel. The Marvel movies, I just love them so much, and I'm, you know, we see two a year.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I know that a part of me is like, no, it needs to only be two a year.
Yeah.
They focus more on it, but then there's like a little spoiled part of me who just wants to watch Marvel movies.
Yeah.
All day. So it was like a good idea, and I saw the pilot and I didn't like it.
Mm.
And then I kept on watching the show and I continued on liking it. I stopped watching the show for a while and I eventually got back to it. But I don't love the show, which is hilarious because I love the Marvel movies, but I just do not love the show. I think it's okay. I think the other superhero shows are better than this one. I think this is the weakest one so far, in my opinion.
No, I see. I agree with you. I definitely think it's weak, and I don't love it. But I do have, I think I have a stronger fondness for it than you do. And I definitely think that it got a lot stronger after the Captain America.
I completely agree.
Because yeah.
Captain America, Winter Soldier, I think it was just a, like, my grade for the show is probably just a C.
Yeah.
And after, it got to high Bs.
Yeah. No, I think that it still has potential. I mean, and I definitely think season one of Arrow was a lot weaker than season two, so I'm looking forward to season two. But I agree with you. The characters just weren't hitting the way you'd want them to. The humor was hit or miss. There were some good lines, but there was also some bad ones. the stories went really slow, and we didn't get a whole lot of, like, there were all these mysteries that, like, we weren't getting answers to, and they weren't introducing that many Marvel characters. So it ended up just being a show that I was like, oh, this is a fun, turn off your brain, sort of just teary show. But definitely, I mean, when you're watching season two of Arrow at the same time, you can't really even begin to compare them. yeah.
But I don't know, I don't want my superhero TV to be a show where I turn off my mind and watch it. I don't know, maybe I've become spoiled by some of the movies, but like when I watch Arrow, I feel like, sometimes it's just like cool fighting and stuff, but other times you really have to think about it and make connections and realize things. Like you see that in Arrow.
And the characters develop and there's like actual intense drama between the characters. And
I think my favorite part last season was when Samuel L. Jackson came in for the finale.
Yeah, I mean, I personally really like, and so I'll say this as we get into the premiere too, I really like the whole thing they did with Ward, and I think that Agent Ward was a pretty interesting, that was an interesting turn of events, and the fact that they went so dark with him, because, you know, when he was first revealed as a Hydra agent, you're like, oh, he's going to change his mind, he's going to become a good guy, whatever, but then he did that thing to Fitz and Simmons, putting them in the water, which now has such a lasting effect on Fitz. It's like, that was really pretty damn dark.
Yes, I think that was my favorite thing they did. Something that they don't usually do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's still a main character in the show, and I don't think they're just going to keep him there as, like, a guy locked up in there. So I feel like he's either going to get really bad, or he's going to die, or he's going to turn good.
Yeah, so definitely I agree with you. Moving forward, it's scary because they could go in a bad direction with this. But in the premiere, as it stands in the premiere, I actually really liked Ward in that prison and just the sort of level of insanity that he was getting to. Just, you know, the fact that he was like destroying himself trying to get out, the fact that he was sort of really creeping on Sky, I thought was interesting.
No, I definitely liked him being creepy.
That was one of the high points for me. And, you know, connected to that also was the whole Fitz brain damage thing, is, you know, actually giving that weight. And, you know, because a big part of it, too, was season one, everyone's like, Fitz and Simmons are, like, the same person. There's no, like, there's no need for both of them. And this is a pretty dark way to differentiate Fitz and Simmons, but
we don't actually see Simmons.
So. Yeah, so that actually is that's a con for me, is that I don't believe Simmons would leave.
Just leave him in that water thing, like, when they're under the water, so why did you leave him now? I don't get it either.
Yeah, the lesson, the reason they give on the episode is they thought, it's that they say she thought it would be easier for Fitz if she was gone, but that just, like, sounds so stupid. And I just don't, I also don't understand why Fitz isn't in the hospital. Like, why is he, like, still there? He should be, like, being taken care of by his family or something. I mean,
at least be put into a hospital so he doesn't have to work in a lab when he's obviously mentally ill. I love how Agent, they were like, oh, you see, he's talking to himself. But they're like, oh, who cares? Let him talk to him. He gets work done.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a sort of an issue that, I mean, like, I liked the drama and the sadness of what happened to him, and I liked the fact that the reveal that he wasn't actually there, but it comes with all these weird logic questions of, like, what exactly? That's weird. So, yeah, that was a bit of a weird thing. Did you like the villain that episode?
Yeah, actually, from all the other villains we've seen on the show, I really did like him.
Yeah, and he actually is from the comics, which is part of probably why he was cool. You know, they actually managed to get a cool... His name's the Absorbing Man in the comics. He sometimes fights, like, the Avengers and Thor and stuff. And, I really thought they did a great job with his effects. I thought it didn't seem like TV effects. It felt like really great effects. Yeah, so
I liked him, and I liked that he had an actual interesting power.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope we see more cool people like that. People from the actual comics.
I mean, I think they have announced a couple of people. They're aiming for that more in season two to try to bring in comic characters.
So I look forward to that.
Yeah. And one thing I also really liked about this episode that sort of remedied a big issue with season one is that now they're sort of, because of the whole Hydra thing, they're back, they're underdogs now. Whereas last season, it sort of felt like, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is this massive thing. If they ever get in a scrape, they can just call in backup. And now they're sort of outlaws, and they're sort of, you know, scrappy little team trying to do good. And that to me is a lot more interesting than just seeing these, like, basically FBI agents go around and do stuff.
Well, I agree. I like that they're the underdogs.
Just cons that I had is I just felt like it was, you know, these episodes have too much just slow, boring, let's have a talk about nothing for a while. And yeah, I think that's a definite issue with the show.
Mention here is that thing, the I forget what it's called now.
The objects that they're,
Yeah.
yeah, the big old 084 that the that Peggy Carter had, which, I mean, that's an interest that we don't really know much about it.
That makes your hand all black and you have to cut it off.
Yeah, I mean, it looked odd. I'm gonna reserve judgment on that until it actually. The thing is, they bring up things like this a lot and then don't really pay them off for a really long time. So if we get a cool payoff that connects with the comic thing somewhat soon, then I'll be excited about it. But right now, I'm just like,
What are those seven things that Thanos is trying to collect
oh,
again?
the Infinity Stones?
I think it's Infinity Stones.
That
Is
would
that?
be interesting. That would be really interesting for them to go that intense on Agents of Shield. That I mean, I'd be up for that. I wonder if they do that on Agents of Shield though.
That would really connect to the movie,
Yeah.
which would be really interesting.
And it would be good because it's like, are you gonna use up all? Are you gonna spend like seven different movies going after these things? Maybe it would be better to get rid of some of them in the TV show. You know.
Yeah, no, I just thought about that
Yeah.
now, and actually, I would kind
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Yeah, and then there wasn't really much humor this episode, though. I don't know if you do you like it that they try to add in humor here and there?
that. Sometimes Agent Coulson has a funny one-liner or something, but sometimes they're just so overly cheesy, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, he didn't have any really funny lines that I can think of right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, I know that we've talked about just the overall issue of having trouble connecting with these characters. I mean, I personally do like Fitz, and I do like Coulson, and once in a while I like Skye. But yeah, I mean, I agree that at the most part, I like them on a surface level, and there isn't a whole lot of depth there yet.
I mean, like, when I watch Arrow, for example, and something bad happens to, like, Oliver
You like
or
his mom dies?
when his mom died, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried, and not just because the mom died, but because his reaction, his sister's reaction, that whole episode made me cry. And I guess maybe that, like if I cared about these characters as much as I cared about the characters in Arrow, I might have cried when I saw Fitz talking to
Yeah.
him. But I didn't. I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, he has brain damage. But I wasn't like, oh my God, Simmons
Yeah.
left. She's, how could she? I didn't have that kind of reaction because
Yeah.
I don't really feel so strongly for them. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to them. Like, I don't, it's not that I don't care about them, but it's just like I don't get emotional reactions by what happens to them.
No, I definitely agree with you. I definitely get that. Also, I just realized spoilers for season 2 of Arrow.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm the one who brought it up. But no, yeah, it's just in general, maybe we should sort of talk about like, we will try to separate the shows out in the future so that we could be like, spoiler warning for this in case you're behind in one of the shows, but you're not behind in the other shows. But yeah, sorry about that. Okay, so I guess we're sort of winding down. I was gonna say, so I guess next week's episode, we probably will be talking about these two shows again, and then the following week we have Arrow and Flash premiering, which is great.
So
So
does
we'll.
that mean we'll get less into detail once we have more shows, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think that what we'll probably do is the week that they premiere, we'll focus on Arrow and Flash and maybe say like a couple sentences about Gotham and Shield that week, and then once all four of them are sort of going together, you know, we'll pick and choose which ones we really want to highlight depending on what happens that week.
Yeah, maybe like the more interesting ones we can talk
Yeah,
about.
and if say something really stupid happens in Agents of Shield, maybe we'll spend 5 minutes talking about how stupid it was, like, or if they start doing better.
Something that becomes better because it has
Yeah.
so much potential.
Yeah.
Like, I think it has more potential than any of the other ones because they actually have the ability to, like, because it's so connected to the movies, I feel
Yeah.
like they have the, like, for example, they brought Samuel Jack. Not that, like, they need to bring him in to
Yeah.
have a good episode, but the fact that it just shows that because it's so connected to the movies, they have so much more ability to make the show better
Yeah.
even like for example, in the beginning of the episode where they didn't just have Agent Carter, they also had like the other people from
Yeah.
the like I really like that. I really like seeing those guys again.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think that that's really cool, and I would love to see Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye, come in, because I think that would be a great opportunity to give Hawkeye a little bit more depth too, which I think he needs.
Yeah,
And
he's the one character I feel like we haven't really.
yeah, and he's a SHIELD agent, so like since we haven't seen him reacting to SHIELD falling apart. So I feel like we need that.
Really weird that he wasn't in Captain America 2, right?
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. I don't know what he was, I don't know. He is a SHIELD agent, right? I'm not making he's not like a mercenary.
No, he's a SHIELD agent.
Yeah. So that yeah, that is sort of
Starts with
surprising.
Black Widow, so it was weird for me that they didn't like ever talk about him or be like, oh, I wonder if he's actually a Hydra agent or
Yeah,
something.
oh, that's a good point too. I would way prefer it if he was, because I really don't like him.
You don't like the actor? Do you not like the
I don't. Okay, I don't blame Jeremy Renner, and he did he was good in American Hustle, so it's not like I think he's bad, but in that role, he just feels bland to me. And I think when he's in these action roles, like I saw that if you've seen the trailers for the Bourne movie he was in, he seemed really bland there too. So I don't think he's a great action star, but. Do you like him?
I don't know because when he was in the Avengers movie, there was no, like he was easily forgettable.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was forgettable because of the actor or because we put him next to like this sounds awful because I'm always talking about a strong female character, but the only female character who happens to be gorgeous
Yeah.
and really smart, so they put her next to her, but and also like Hulk and Iron Man and all these really popular famous people.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. If they were to bring him into the show, or at least they could have focused on him in the movie, so we could get more depth. So like when he's standing next to these people, he's not just invisible. Because
Yeah.
like honestly, I don't really remember much about him except at one scene in, when he like shoots the arrow and then the bad guy catches it and he's like, "Ha, you missed," and then like it blows up.
Yeah.
He's
Yeah,
my
that's the thing. I agree with that. The whole thing is he also has like a stupid ability. I don't care about archery that much, especially in
How would
comparison.
Daryl feel?
What, say again?
How would Oliver feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, okay, but in comparison to Iron Man and Captain America, and the thing is, I feel like you're right that Black Widow gets a pass because she's the only female. So like, I'm more okay with her. I mean, I'm just like, I'm still excited that she's there because she's a female. But if they had a male that was with her abilities, I'd be like, why is she there? It's the freaking Avenger, like, you know?
Yeah,
So.
I think someone with that kind of ability, like Oliver, for example,
Yeah.
is better for a TV show universe rather than the movie universe.
Yeah. I mean, 'cause I think I'd be saying the same thing about Oliver if he was fighting Doomsday or with Superman or something.
Except for like Batman and Superman.
Yeah. Well, except that Batman is also not doing it's just
Batman and Green Arrow are kind of alike.
Yeah.
Like they're
I
really
mean, the whole Arrow storyline, especially season one, they were very heavily pulling from the Nolan Batman movies. You know, with I mean even look at they made season two they made the villain look kind of like Scarecrow, and you know they the whole corruption angle and coming back after training away, you know,
Yeah, no, they were really trying to copy that, but
yeah. But I mean, if you're gonna copy something, it's a good thing to copy. So yeah. All right. So you have anything else you want to? I mean, I guess do you want to quickly grade this premiere episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
so compared to the other episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Yeah, sure. I give it a B minus.
I was going to say B minus too, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a B minus too.
Yeah. I wanted to be like, yeah, it's back and better than ever. Instead, I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good episode.
There were parts I really liked and then parts I really didn't like.
Yeah.
I think that there was too many things where it didn't make sense to me. And maybe they'll explain it more why Simmons left. For example,
Yeah.
that part actually really annoys me because it doesn't really fit in with her character or personality at
Yeah,
all.
I agree with you.
So unless did that actress quit the show?
Not that I've heard of. I'm pretty sure she'll be back.
Okay.
Also, she wouldn't have been in those like
That's true. We wouldn't have seen her in her.
yeah. So I assume there'll be an episode where like we find out she's off doing something other and she comes back or you know. Okay, so as we sort of wrap up, I just want to point out that because so we're a new podcast and we're going to be submitting to iTunes, that iTunes takes a few days to actually get the episodes up, and so it's possible that the second episodes of these shows will be out by the time that this is actually you're listening to it, but we will be getting the second episode on those out pretty soon too, so. Sorry about the time delay. We had a few tech issues that delayed us this week. But okay, so if you want to contact us, we have a lot of things up and running for you to check us out at. We have, if you want to check us out on Twitter, you can look at SSJPod. Our blog is smallscreenjustice.wordpress.com. All the episodes will be posted on there in addition to iTunes. If they wanted to email us, where could they email us, Nare?
Email us at smallscreenjustice@gmail.com. And
Yes.
one or both of us will respond, or we will, if you send in the shout out, right, Dan?
Yeah.
We can mention it.
Yeah, totally. If you have questions you want us to talk about on the episode.
If we're crazy and that you actually like an episode that we didn't like, or you hate an episode we liked, or whatever, anything, your opinions, please send them on, and we will actually, Dan and I are both very open to new
Yeah.
people's opinions, and we will really consider our opinions on these episodes.
Also, if you have a old show that you liked or whatever that you'd like us to talk about or just give our brief thoughts on or something like that, throw those in there too. We'd love to hear them. And so yeah, once we are on iTunes, please rate and review us. That would really help us find an audience. So that's pretty much everything. Anything else you want to say, Nara, before we sign out?
I think that's it.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Okay, bye.
Oh.